Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we continue our series of conversations with groups who are presenting their ideas for funding through an extension of Vision 2025 in the city of Tulsa. Today we speak with two of the principals behind the Boston Avenue Multisport Facility. This project actually began as a design project for TY Pro's Street Cred competition on how to transform a block-long surface parking lot. From that prompt, the principals designed a multi-use athletic facility for community soccer, lacrosse, rugby, and ultimate frisbee groups, along with underground parking that provides 30% more parking, a park with fixed seating, water features, some retail space, and a zero net energy footprint thanks to a renewable energy system that includes geothermal, solar, and rain storage. The group is asking for $44 million to construct this park between Boston and Cincinnati and 10th and 12th Street, just south of the Tulsa Community College Metro Campus. My guests today are two of the four principals, Kenton Grant of Kenton Grant Consulting and Terrell Hoagland, the Director of Sustainability for Jones Design Studio. They join us today on Studio Tulsa. Kenton and Terrell, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Tell us a little a bit about how this idea came together, because this really came out of a grassroots project that the Boston Avenue Multisport project sort of got going. Where did it begin?
So it came out of a TyPros street cred competition about a year and a half ago, 2014. TyPros, annual street cred. They came up with a design competition, asked architects, engineers, landscapers, and students to come up with an idea to revitalize and demonstrate how you would remake an asphalt parking lot.
And out of that, competition, that was the sort of the people's choice of that particular competition. You kind of shopped this idea around the world, really, into some other competitions as well.
We did. Kenton and I and the other two partners in the team, we entered it into Autodesk's international design-led future competition and competed against about 1,800 projects worldwide, and we won that competition, narrowly edging out a school in West Africa and some disaster-resilient development in Trinidad Tobago. So Tulsa won the competition. One of our Kenton represented us in Vegas, and there was a booth and a big feature presentation on the project out there at Autodesk University this year.
Mm-hmm. But this is all totally on just the speculative nature of design. You chose a site that's really considered to be sort of the heart of the South Downtown parking crater, if you will. And there's a great, there's a couple of great slides in your presentation, which gives us a look from, I think it's Boston Avenue Church, looking up Boston, say, 30, 40 years ago, when you could see buildings in every block, all the way up to what was probably then the new BOK building and the Williams building downtown, the Williams Center. And you compare that today, and this is just blocks of nothing except surface parking. So this project addresses this. So how did you get the idea of doing this multi-sport park athletic facility as your design emphasis?
Sure. We started off with the program, which basically gave us an asphalt parking lot. Everybody around the group who have been in Tulsa most of their lives, all very interested in sustainability, loved the idea of coming up with some sort of park, which quickly morphed into some sort of sport facility, soccer, lacrosse, rugby, ultimate frisbee. We quickly realized that one parking lot isn't big enough to do what we wanted to do. So we took it in our own hands and decided, well, let's take two parking lots. And as we passed around the beer around the table, we quickly decided to, let's raise the sport facility up. Let's put it on top of shipping containers. Let's put parking below the soccer field. Let's put retail and education space below that. And let's create a park with water features. And so over the course of a couple weeks, we quickly morphed the design from one asphalt parking lot into two asphalt parking lots with all this amazing space and features that we have.
Yeah. So tell us how this idea exists as of today, the Boston Avenue Multisport. It's between 10th and 12th Street and Boston and Cincinnati. It's directly south of the Metro campus of TCC. It's taking up two blocks. It does have parking, But so just explain the site, if you would, Terrell.
Okay. So we've taken the two existing parking lots. We've actually, by raising and elevating the parking 3 stories, we've increased the parking by 30%. So the capacity is actually raised in the parking side. The field would sit on the top deck of that parking, and it would transition down into a park on the north end. One of the big features of this whole site will be the sustainability of the complex and the renewable energy aspects of it. So we intend to collect the stormwater off the field, take those through a series of cisterns, use those as part of the water features on the site, and irrigate the park. In addition, we plan on using photovoltaic systems to shade the bleachers, providing shade and providing energy to power the lights in the evening. The other big component of this is that the intention is to use both these parking lots as a geothermal well field system. Those geothermal well fields would not only power the facility here, but would have additional power that could be supplied to potential future developments that this could be a catalyst for. In addition to that, the intention is to do a loop underneath the field surface itself that would melt snow and ice off in the winter and lower the ambient temperature somewhat in the summer. Relatively cutting-edge sort of technology that was first put in place up in University of Nebraska at Haymarket Field on their baseball field. They now have the greenest field, the earliest in the year of any college around with the geothermal loop underneath their field system. So we thought this could potentially work here as well.
Now, you're using a synthetic field surface, so you cut down greatly on the amount of maintenance needed, whether it's mowing grass or things like that or fertilizing. And I assume you're looking at this as a more of a local facility for club teams, for maybe youth tournaments. I know the rugby guys down on Riverside, if they have a tournament, they could come and use the facility as a rugby pitch. And I guess adaptability is a big part of this design, correct?
Absolutely.
Yes, we've been working in conjunction with the Tulsa Field Sports Alliance, who helps administer and organize stuff out at the West Bank Sports Complex. And that group consists of soccer, lacrosse, rugby, and ultimate frisbee. And so we've been working with that group to design programming that could keep this in use year-round with all those different groups and providing community-based games, tournament games, different sort of things. There's really no synthetic turf field that's playable year-round for community use in the local Tulsa area. This could be a real benefit. There comes a point when we've built in lots of great residential in downtown Tulsa, but at some point we need a couple other things downtown to really entice people we feel like to live down there. And one of those is a grocery store, which is very important. Another one is a place for people to recreate and to have sports and community-based sports and fields and games. So we very much feel that this has a strong community aspect to it.
Now, it does have seating, but it's not a huge number of people. You're talking about seating maybe a couple of thousand, 3,000, something like
just
that?
Just under 4,000, about 3,800 uh-huh. people.
Uh-huh. And again, you're generating electricity through the photovoltaic solar energy on top of these sort of covers for the bleachers on the west side. What are you going to use the electricity for? Is it powering lights? Is it is there any sort of retail or any sort of shopping involved with this? Or is it powering the lights for the underground parking? Or what exactly?
So the amount of photovoltaic we feel like we can safely collect will power the lights. It will power the stadium lights themselves and then the site lighting around. In addition to that kind of lighting, yes, we do have in the design about 50,000 square feet of mixed-use retail development and then another 20,000 feet of potential educational space that's set aside. And so all that comes together. So there's potential tenants, potential lease rates for tenants that can help add to the budget. As I said, the geothermal and the availability of surplus geothermal helps add to the total revenue budget of this. So we feel like it has some strong potential through all the sustainability of this to offset the operations costs significantly.
Well, you're expecting it to be a zero sum. I mean, it's like you're going to raise enough energy to basically fund the operation, so there's no real hard costs.
At the end of the day, the design is intended to be net zero energy and water. And so then the maintenance costs and facilities costs then become that the different part of the budget, but you're not having to pay an electric bill and a water bill and a gas bill at the end of the day.
Hmm. My guests today are Terrell Hoagland, a director of sustainability at Jones Design Studio, and Kenton Grant of Kenton Grant Consulting. They are two of four principals that came up with this idea for Boston Avenue Multisport, which has gone through a couple of competitions, both locally and nationally and internationally, about building a two-block park, which will feature a sports field in one block and then a bit of a mixed use, looks like some retail along with a natural park in the second block between Boston and Cincinnati and 10th and 12th Street. The estimated cost is, $44 million?
$44 million is correct.
And we're continuing our series of conversations with groups who are pursuing ideas for funding through an extension of Vision 2025 today on Studio Tulsa. And this idea has sort of spawned an imitator. And what's been interesting about all the different ideas that are going out in Vision 2025 is how soccer fields, whether it's on the West Bank a sports park or up at Mohawk Park or a couple of designs in downtown, are really catching a lot of attention. What do you suppose that is due to?
So we came up with this idea about a year and a half ago, and it started pitching the idea and getting everybody involved and interested in the idea. Everybody's really familiar with the Roughnecks, how well they used to play back in the 70s, I believe. And that just kind of naturally came out of their own. They've been playing over at the One Oak Drillers Field, which is probably a little small for what they want to be doing. I think they're vying for an MLS spot. But what we're trying to do is really mutually exclusive to what they're trying to do. We're trying to revitalize a district, recreate the neighborhood, create an opportunity for community sports, a central place for TCC students, teachers, people that are walking around that kind of area.
Yeah. Well, we've talked a little bit about the sports field. Tell us a little bit about the park on the south side of the property, which looks in many ways has some similarities to what you would see if you were looking down on Guthrie Green in a way. And I think the idea is to sort of create a south downtown version of Guthrie Green. Is that in the sort of a part of the idea?
Yes. Terrell said it earlier. The idea is to bookend downtown with a park on the southern end. We've been collaborating with TCC, among others, in the neighborhood to come up with what we think would be best for the area. Originally, our park was actually facing the south end, and after meeting with TCC and some other organizations, we've actually flipped the whole design 180 degrees.
Okay.
This would give the metro campus somewhat of a quad feel, putting a natural park, abutting the campus building, creating a place for students to hang out during the day.
So the park area will be actually on the north side right across from TCC, and then the soccer stadium is moved from 10th to 11th to 11th to 12th.
Correct.
Is that right?
Oh, correct.
Excellent. All right. What are some of the features of the park?
So some of that is still up in the air. As non-developers, big key stakeholders in the typical sense of developing a project, we've continued to collaborate and meet with everybody in the neighborhood to come up with what we feel would be best for them. So those conversations and lines of communication are still open. Right now, what we're looking to do is a large expanse of open green space, some built-in hard seating, once again, playing up to the students, giving them a place to read, study, do homework, congregate in between classes outside, which there really isn't any space for them to do that because it's just an asphalt parking lot. We've included a large number of water features, a splash pad, some open fountains, a sculpture garden, things like that to just, bring some green and some blue to the area down there.
Mm-hmm. Now, where is the mixed-use retail? Where is that? Is it actually in the parking garage or is it actually... is there a building built into the site?
We feel like it's a building built into the site.
Sort of a buffer between the soccer field and the park?
In the park, yes. Uh-huh. And that creates a really nice sort of natural element there for that. We envision restaurants that could serve on the roof deck that would overlook the field, potentially retail, some shopping down there along the site. We really started this out with the idea of becoming an entrepreneurial space for sort of those brick and mortar type businesses that are hard to provide entrepreneurial space for. And so small startup shops, we've talked with TU in some detail with some of their programs, and they're very interested in supporting some of that, where you could have small t-shirt shops, athletic gear shops, maybe a smoothie shop, these kind of things, as well around the outside. And part of this is We've seen great stuff in the Brady District with Guthrie Green and with One Oak Field and how those things have drawn people in and become a catalyst for development in the area. We feel like this project has that kind of capabilities where it can become a catalyst for development right here on the site, but also in the surrounding area in the district.
How important is the parking element of having the parking garage underneath? Because I imagine you would not get TCC's support unless, because that's one of their main parking lots, I assume. And you know, really a big part of that parking crater is TCC and the downtown churches around the area where at certain times they need a lot of that parking. So how big is the parking component of at least putting it underground, underneath the site, for the viability of the project?
Sure. So that's another idea that came out of the collaboration with TCC. Our original design actually took away almost half their parking, and that wasn't going to work out for them. So we said, okay, we'll work on that. We'll fix it. And we came back to them with 30% extra parking. And like Terrell mentioned, that this hopefully becomes a catalyst for future development by increasing the parking capacity 30%. We've given TCC or some of the churches downtown an opportunity to do some sort of land swap and or develop on their property because we've absorbed that extra parking now in our parking garage.
Yeah, and I would think, is this going to be the coming trend when you build a development, especially on one of these surface parking areas, that the parking goes underground?
We see that as a trend. We see that as a national trend and an international trend as well. We've gone out and we've researched other similar projects to what we've done here, and they exist. They exist. There's a great one in Maryland here locally. We just recently were looking at one over in Europe that was a 5-story parking garage with a professional stadium on top of it. In a lot of bigger cities where green space in the inner city is at a premium, we see a lot of fields like this on elevated decks.
I'm thinking of Chicago and some of the new Millennium Parks there. I think you're parking well underneath all of those developments. Anytime you build a new park, there's parking underneath it.
Absolutely.
And we were fortunate that we had, particular to this site, there's actually a 30-foot drop between 10th Street and 12th Street. It may not seem like it unless you walk it a lot, but that 30-foot drop gives us a natural ability to level out the field and not have to build up, per se, and just build down into our site.
Mm-hmm. How has flipping the design changed things? Because originally the soccer field was going to be on the upper elevation. Now it's going to be on the lower elevation.
From a sustainability side, it gives us more south-facing exposure for some photovoltaics. So I was pretty thrilled about that.
Yeah.
And going back to the parking garage again, too, actually by flipping the design 180 degrees, it allowed us to do the parking garage easier without having to excavate a lot of land.
Now, I know you guys have been doing a lot of presentations about this idea since it won the Tie Pro competition and then you took it off to other competitions. What's been the reaction in the community? Because I know you've done a lot of presentations, perhaps more than most of the ideas that have gone before the city council.
We've had a lot of great presentations. That's something that I feel like is good for what we've been working on because we've been doing this since the Tie Pro Street Cred last year. We've been meeting with people since about June or July of 2014. The reception has been great. Everybody loves the concept of what we're doing. In some of our opinions, we feel like other projects have developed because of our idea, which is great. That's spurring some of the creativity and future developments we hope that we want to see happen.
And one of the things it's really interesting about your idea, which I know there's at least one other proposal, which is considering a soccer stadium, and I think it's really expressly designed to attract an MLS team or to lead to an MLS team down the road, a professional top-level soccer team. And of course, you have to have, you know, at least 20,000, 25,000-seat stadium for that, and that's a huge land print. Your idea is really about designing something for Tulsa's local residents to go out and whether you live downtown and you have a little sports club that wants to play soccer in a team or intramural, you have this idea. How important is that to the overall design?
We think that is key. And that we really, as I've mentioned community multiple times, this is a great amenity for Tulsa to bring people in from around the surrounding suburbs to come to a synthetic turf field, to bring them into downtown, to showcase what downtown is like to those groups. And with seating for up to 4,000 people, it can accommodate a lot of the smaller clubs, the local clubs that we have right now.
Or your typical youth tournament. Tulsa. Maybe you play all the tournament games at one of the satellite sites, and then you come down for the final in the downtown facility.
Absolutely. You come down, you park in good covered parking underneath, you come up to the top deck, you bring people into downtown that ordinarily or otherwise would not maybe come to downtown, right? So it helps us bring those people in, and at the end of the day, that helps us capture tax dollars.
Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about your site is, at least on the east and west side, you have additional surface parking. Do you think that's going to spur development to fill in some of that crater, or what is your funding is granted and you're able to build this site, what do you think this area is going to look like in about 3 or 4 or 5 years after construction?
We hope that because we've incorporated an extra 30% of parking on top of what we need for the site, that gives an opportunity for a future developer or TCC or somebody else to come in down the road, look at one of those parking lots, realize that we've already assumed all that parking capacity, and it gives them an opportunity to build something. We would love to be able to potentially narrow down some of the streets, create some more green space, and create more walkability and bikeability between our site and the core of downtown, leading back to Guthrie Green, going all the way down Boston. So you're connecting the southern end of downtown, which is the campus and the churches, and then taking that down into where everybody is working. And there are a lot of people working downtown. We've started to reach out to health and wellness coordinators. A lot of the big businesses downtown represent 12, 14,000 people who at the moment have to leave downtown to go play a pickup game or play a sport. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we feel is another great resource for us, is to be able to keep those working people after hours in downtown playing sports, and then be able to put them back out into restaurants and retail.
You know, now one of the byproducts of the negative publicity about Tulsa's parking crater in this particular location is nothing has come out. There's lots of rumors of business development in this area because of the fact that there's basically land with just a layer of asphalt on it. Do you expect that some of the business community will move this way if you have a facility like this, or with or without it?
We hope so. It's interesting. About a month ago or so, the PAC put out an RFQ to have developers look at their property to put in a parking garage, which is great. That's fantastic. That's private businesses starting to look at the parking lots that they own and trying to do something different with it, because they realize that downtown Tulsa is a parking crater.
Yeah, and so maybe you change one block into a parking garage, the next block can be developed.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with the project. Kenton and Terrell, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kenton Grant of Kenton Grant Consulting and Terrell Hoagland, Director of Sustainability for Jones Design Studio, two of the four principals behind the Boston Avenue Multisport Facility. As we continue our series of conversations with groups who are presenting ideas for funding through an extension of Vision 2025. If you'd like more information about this idea and many of the other ideas that have been presented before the City Council, visit cityoftulsa.org/vision. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
It took about 5 zeptoseconds for Oklahoma Republican representatives to call for the impeachment of those Supreme Court justices in Oklahoma who ruled the Ten Commandments monument in front of the state capitol should be moved or was unconstitutional. It is a statue, we're told, that's inclusive of all faiths, even though it's one that was put up by Christians to be enjoyed by Christians and to let others in the state, mostly non-Christians, know they're just guests. Oklahoma lately is a national punchline. Our leaders see that derision and, far from being embarrassed by it, though, double down on it. Our senior senator brings a snowball on the Senate floor to defy global warming. Our junior senator thinks homosexuality is a choice. Our governor doesn't know how many branches of government we have, or our second district congressman doesn't know how many branches of government we have. Our first district congressman stands idly by when a constituent talks of executing the president. Our recently retired senator, Tom Coburn, thinks in order to fix the country, we need a constitutional convention to rewrite the rules of government and have the people who don't understand the rules we presently have do the rewriting. The head of the state Republican signs his name, Randy, to a post which compares poor people to wild animals and then apologizes a day later if, he says, anyone was offended by it. Apparently nobody in his office was when the draft was being circulated. We have the lowest tax rate in the nation for those who drill sideways for hydrocarbons and lead the nation in education cuts. We have more women incarcerated than any other state and one of the worst places for women's health. Our cities are alternately the most coveted by young professionals and the most dangerous. We receive more in taxes from Washington than we pay in and then complain about the size of the federal budget. We pass fetal heartbeat laws to protect children, but 1 in 4 of them in the state don't have enough to eat. We believe life begins at conception, but feverishly work to execute people. We ridicule those in need unless we're the ones underwater or digging out from an F-5. Our leaders are contrarians, proud and intellectuals who see pablum and sell pablum as policy. Science bothers them. Gays bother them. Women who want to control their sexual appetites bother them. They throw, as good friend John Woolley reminds me, cash to luxury boxes and piety to cheap seats. Tax cuts and charter schools for the rich conservatives, Sharia law and gay marriage bans for the poor ones. Oklahoma is the largest state in the union where every major elected office holder, from governor to lieutenant governor to attorney general to secretary of state to the United States senators to all the members of the House of Representatives to the mayors of our two biggest cities, are of the same party. We have the government we deserve. We have the government we want. This is what the revolution feels like. One more thing. A few weeks back, there was a rally at the state capitol. Some Oklahomans gathered in support of others' right to wave the Confederate flag. We had a Confederate flag here, too. It flew for 22 years on the capitol grounds, was part of a display of 14 flags, including one from the Choctaw Nation. We had moral equivalents, a flag of the oppressed, a flag of the oppressors. Were it still flying, we could see it from the Ten Commandments monument right now. In 1988, though, during a renovation at the Capitol, the flag came down for cleaning, we're told. It was never returned to its pole. No explanation was given, but I'd like to think it's because someone, and maybe that someone, was Henry Bowman, a Republican, who was governor when the flag went up in the 60s and was governor when the flag came down in the 80s, understood that some things can never be cleaned. The past can never be cleaned.
Barry Freeman is a columnist for the Tulsa Voice, a writer and essayist, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.